I'm Jeremy, and I've got the privilege tonight of sharing the word. And I was thinking before, it is a privilege because we've got lots of different representatives from different churches, and it's like we've all got our different flavors. But you know, when we go to a banquet, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to just have all the same meal there. You know, I like all the different flavors. So when we all come together with our different flavors, it's a special time, and it's an absolute privilege to be bringing the word this evening. And all afternoon, I was thinking, what do I share? What would you want me to say, Lord? What, like, use me, I'm your vessel. What is it that you want to speak through me? And this evening I've got a very simple message, and it comes out of, I want to start in 1 Peter. So if you've got a Bible, in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9 and 10, it says this, it says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who did not obtain mercy, but have now obtained mercy." You know, like, and if I'm honest, I know that we've got an absolutely great spread out there for supper tonight. So what I could do right now is I could just put the microphone down and say, I'm done. You know, there's so much in that verse, those two verses. I could put it down, because if we realize who we are because of the finished work of the cross, if we just realize that, not just intellectually realize it, but have a revelation deep within our heart, I could sit down and say, I'm done. Do you know who you are? But do you actually know who you are? Like, a look across the room, the inbuilt potential. And some of you are probably sitting there saying, I've probably got less days ahead of me than behind me. No. The inbuilt potential in the room. The inbuilt potential. You see, God looks at our lives and says, this is who you actually are. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people that belong to God. That's who you are. That's huge. And it's an absolute honor and privilege to bring the word this evening. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for the word. I thank you that we can just freely come. Freely come and hear from you. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here this evening. We welcome you tonight. I pray that it won't be my words speaking, but Father, be your words. Less of me and more of you. We welcome you here this evening. Have your way tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You see, I don't know about you, but sometimes I look in the mirror, particularly every morning, I'll get out of bed and I might go look in the mirror and it's like that, oh. I don't know, it might just be me that thinks that, but sometimes I do. I look in the mirror and I think, ugh. Like, I feel like I'm married to the most gorgeous girl in the world. And then I look at myself and I think, you know how they had that that ad on TV, he must be batting above his weight. Well, that's how I feel, because I look in the mirror and I go, ugh. And sometimes you might think that as well. Sometimes you might think, oh, how can God say I'm this? He doesn't know this about me. He doesn't know that about me. I'm flawed in this area. I'm flawed in that area. I wish I could change this about myself. But who knows that God doesn't do that? The way that he sees ourselves sometimes is so different to how we view ourselves. You know what I've found in life? Is that it's so easy to believe the statements Jesus said about himself. But it's so much harder to believe the statements he said about you and I. Let me give you an example. In John 8 verse 12 it says, "Then Jesus spoke to them again saying, I am the light of the world." You know, I can believe that statement about Jesus. He is all of those I can statements. He is the good shepherd. He is the door. He is the resurrection, the life. He is the way, the truth and the life. I can believe all those statements about God, but when we jumped over to Matthew 5 and verse 14, it says, You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. You see, I can believe all those statements he says about himself, but I have difficulty believing the statements he said about you and I, who we actually are today. You see, we can't live our lives believing who Jesus says he is and then doubting who he declares you and I are. In 1 Peter 1, verse 15 and 16, it says, "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" I can believe that our God is holy. Are you with me? Like, God is holy. But when it comes to the bit where it says, "I want you to be holy," you know, like, not do holy, but be holy, it's like, God, you've got the wrong guy. Do you know who I actually am? Are you looking at the same person that I am when I look in the mirror? I believe he is holy, but in spite of what we have done, God looks at us through the blood of his son and says, "No, I'm declaring you holy." And he says that to each of us tonight. You are holy, not because of what you've done, but because of what he's done on the cross. You know, our lives, they're not defined by what happens to us, but rather our lives are defined by what Jesus did for us. And if we can allow this shift to take place in our lives, that we are not defined by what other people have said or by the things that have happened to us, but we are defined by what God says about who we actually are. You see, my wife's years ago, she was a really good ballerina, and she lived in Brisbane there for a while, and she'd go to ballet school full time. And this one particular time, I remember it, I'd go and pick her up, and sometimes I'd sit in there and watch her, and I'd just admire that. And well, this dance teacher there was there one time, and you know, like, well, it must have been one of those really old school dance teachers, because he had the stick, and he was sort of walking up this line of people, and he was, "Your butt's too big," all that sort of stuff. And I did, and I remember, it didn't matter how many times I said to my wife, "You're beautiful." The moment that the dance instructor said, "Your butt's too big," what do you think she believed? She didn't believe the 1,000 times that I said, "You're beautiful." She believed the one time that this thought came inside of her head from some silly person who didn't know her, that your butt's too big. How often do we, God says, "You are this," and how often do we shy away from that because we don't feel like that? Today, I don't know what words have framed your world, but do you know what I believe? You know, I believe if you put yourself in the right position and you allow God whispers to sing over your life, today your God story can commence simply with a "God said." One God said, just one thought, just one part of your identity to come back and be alive. It's amazing what can take place. Will you start declaring who God is, but also who you are in him today? Don't just live your life agreeing with who he says he is, but also grab hold and believe who he says you actually are. You see, I've shared this at our church before, but if scientists, they broke down our physical body, and if they broke it down into our mineral and component, chemical components, if our body was broken down and all the elements in our body were valued, out. So if you think it like this, our body's made up of 65% oxygen. Well, oxygen's worth 20 cents a kilogram. So the value of the oxygen in our body is about $9.83. And if you add up all the other chemical components and the minerals in our body, the actual net worth of this shell is about $160 and 5 cents. So the title of my message, I've got value up there, but the title of my message is $160 and 5 cents. I want to declare and let you know that you're worth so much more, and you're so much more valuable than $160 and 5 cents. I've already said it. We're sitting in a room of brilliance. You're sitting next to people who are world changers. You are unique. You are wonderful. You are spectacular. And you're worth so much more than $160 and a few lousy cents. But so often, we can live our lives based upon the value of $160 and 5 cents. I know I have. But today, this evening, I'm here to let you know that you're worth so much more. So much more value that God places His value upon you and I. You see, this generation is the first generation in history that has the inception of social media, where your net worth and your value can be measured in a numerical value based on the likes and opinions of your friends and peers. We find ourselves in a world for the very first time, the first generation where we can assess how popular you are based upon your followers and friends. You can assess how valuable your images you put on social media are. And there's been no generation in history where their value has been determined by their peers on a numerical basis. The start of this month was my wife and I's wedding anniversary. And Tone put some nice post up about how lovable I am all over Facebook. And she got all these likes. So being the loving husband I am, I thought I better scroll through Facebook and find a nice photo. Is this one okay, Tone? Get approval. Then load it up on Facebook and say how much I love you. And do you want to know what happened? I got 3 lousy likes. 3 likes. I thought, crikey. She got like 495. I thought, I'm not that good of a lover. I got 3. She's the better half of me and I only got 3 likes. What's going on? This is the first generation in history where we can base our value on a numerical number dependent upon the number of likes you get on a social media site. You know, when I went to school, and some other people here might realize this as well, and in some ways go, yeah, I had to do that as well. You know, when I went to school, if you wanted to see if a girl liked you, you would have to get out this thing called paper, and you'd have to write down on the piece of paper, Tony McPherson, do you like me? You'd fold up that piece of paper. You'd pass it to the person beside you, and it would move along till it got to that person. You know, you'd probably have down the bottom, circle 1, yes, no. Do you see what the response might be? You know, and then you fold that piece of paper up. You give it to your best mate, Gary, who would pass it on to Sonia, who would pass it on to Tony. And Tony would then respond by circling no. Then she'd fold it up and she'd pass it back to Sonia. Sonia would pass it back to Gary. And that's how it worked when I went to school. And it wasn't for public viewing. But society's changed drastically since then. Did anyone else have to do that? You know, like, get the piece of paper out. Do you like me? It might just be me, but that's how I had to do it. There's no social media. I couldn't inbox and then if she, I'll delete that before she's seen it, or I couldn't do any of that. Or I could just turn around and say, it wasn't me who wrote that. My friends must have hacked me. Well, that's a lie. As if I would do that. I don't like you. You know, we can't do that anymore. Today, your popularity can be measured by the likes and the number of no likes. You see, sometimes we don't like photos because they've already got sufficient likes. I know I've done that. Too many likes, I can't make them out like they're better than what they actually are. I'm not even going to like that one. Is there anyone who has put something on Facebook and they thought it was worthy of a certain number of likes, and when it doesn't reach it, you just end up taking it down? You see, my point one, allow truth rather than your opinion to shape your identity. You see, if you sit back and look at the world today via social media, it seems like there's a lot of opinions on a lot of different topics, but not a lot of people have truth. You see, Jesus said in Matthew 16 and verse 13, it says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples saying, who do you men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. It seems as though everyone has an opinion of who you are. Jesus asked, who does the crowd actually say that I am? And they come back with varying responses and opinions, but they never seem to get it right. In verse 15 he said, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You see, what an amazing statement. I reckon all of his disciples would have been going, woo, I'll jump behind that one. I'll get on that bandwagon. It was an amazing statement. Here they were. And Peter has come to this revelation that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus goes on and he says, Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter. An identity change takes place. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. You see, I don't want the opinions of others to shape my identity. I want the truth of God's word to shape who I actually am. And Jesus says these words, Peter, flesh and blood, humanity have not revealed who I am, my true identity. You see, today humanity can never define who you actually are. He's saying flesh and blood can't do that. But my Heavenly Father has revealed that to you. And the reason why God can reveal our true identity to us is because you and I were made in His image and likeness. When you look into the face of God and get to know God, you get to know who you really are meant to be. We can have an opinion, but I would rather the truth of God being spoken in my life. In Genesis 3, verse 9 and 11, the background here, God has given Adam and Eve one instruction, and that being not to eat from one tree in the garden. But where we pick up the story, they've consumed the fruit of the forbidden tree. Starting in verse 9, they are hiding from God. It says, then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid. I was naked, and I hid myself. He has lost his true identity. And he said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not? And I love this response that God has Adam. Who told you that? Who told you that? Who told you about your life? Who told you you were naked? Who told you you were a failure? Who told you that you were meant nothing? Who told you that you weren't loved? Who told you that you could not fulfill that dream? And today God is saying the same thing. Who told you that lie? Who told you that? The opinion of someone else who has framed you, framed who you think you are. It's not until you hear the voice of God speak into your life that those things you have that frame you can be broken. Who told you that? God's word comes over our life to bring wholeness and to declare who we actually are. You see, there are over 400 labels, statements, declarations that God makes over who we are in Jesus Christ. 400 plus. He knows we need to have those declarations of who we actually are. So today I want to give you a snapshot. Well, tonight I want to give you a snapshot of who you actually are in Jesus Christ. This is who we are. We are alive in Christ. We are holy. You're God's child. You're God's workmanship, a joint heir. You are light and salt. You are more than a conqueror. You're an overcomer. You're an ambassador. You're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're sanctified. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the head and not the tail. You are forgiven. You are redeemed. I could go on. 400 of those. Just a snapshot of who you actually are. That's who we are. But who told you that about who you are? Because that's who you are. Who told you that about yourself? Because I would much rather have the truth spoken over me than the opinion of someone else. Let God's word frame our lives, not the opinions of somebody else. The second thought I have, and I've only got 10, so looking at time, we're doing quite well. 9 to go. Second thought, your identity is not determined by what you do. So often the world and ourselves, we create our identity around what we do, what we are good at. But our identity should never be forged or formed around what we do or what we accomplish. In Matthew 3:16, again, a bit of a background. Here John has walked onto the scene and he is baptizing people into a faith. And Jesus comes to be baptized. And John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, starts declaring these statements over Jesus that he hadn't heard before out of anyone's mouth. He was saying, "You are the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. I can't baptize you. I'm not even worthy to baptize you." And Jesus says, "Yeah, you are more than worthy." John's saying, "I have to decrease so he can actually increase." And here is John prophesying into the life of Jesus. You are the Son of God. You are the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. And in verse 16 it says, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "Your God story will always begin with a God word." And he was saying, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." Something powerful is taking place here. Just moments earlier, in a natural setting, John is declaring, "You are the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. I'm not worthy. I have to decrease so you can actually increase." And Jesus goes through the water of baptism. The heavens open up and his Father comes and declares over his life, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." There is a powerful dynamic when there is a voice from heaven and a voice from earth declaring the same things. And today I'm encouraging you to not speak opinions over your friends, but rather declare the God's spoken words over them that God comes and reinforces. Don't allow your identity to be determined by what you do. I love the Father says, "You are my Son and I am well pleased." But I look at the life of Jesus, and when this is declared to date, he has done nothing. He hasn't healed anyone. He hasn't done any signs of wonder. There is no crowd following after him. He has yet to really open his mouth. And we don't know a lot about his story. But Jesus has maybe not accomplished a lot at this point when his father declares he is well pleased. Yes, he was a carpenter. He may have made the finest carpentry. He may have made the best of tables and chairs. But it didn't matter that the father spoke over his life and it says, it's not about what you've done that earns my approval. This is my son, in spite of what you have or haven't done. In you I am well pleased. You and I, we cannot have our identity defined by what we actually do. And the story goes on in Matthew 4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. You know, like I like that verse. Talk about stating the obvious. He's been in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and then you decide to throw in there he's hungry. I'm like, don't know about you, but I'd be hungry. And now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, just 40 days earlier, heaven opened and he heard his father declaring, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. And the devil will always come back and say, if you are the Son of God. It was a challenge upon his identity. It was a challenge to see if Jesus had forgot who he was. If you are the Son of God, do something. Command that these stones become bread. It's just like humanity. If you are who you say you are, prove it. Do something. I'm going to stand on who he actually says I am. I don't have to prove anything. The proof is all up to him. You see, the enemy knows this. If he can get you and I to start questioning our identity, we're never ever going to achieve our destiny. And here he is, he's challenging Jesus. Just as the Father has declared, this is my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. If you are the Son of God, then do something. And I love the response from Jesus. Whenever his identity is questioned, he always came back with the word of God. This is for a number of reasons. Well, I believe it's for a number of reasons why we must have the word of God in our heart. For when he comes, and he will come, and try to question your identity, who told you that? Who said that? You can come back immediately with the word of God. Or at other times, he just ignored it. I love that approach as well. I didn't say anything. I didn't challenge it. I didn't do anything. I just ignored it. Just let it run. Let it go through to the keeper. There's a number of times you might find yourself in an argument. And who knows if you don't say anything back. Well, your immediate response is, sorry, I can't go any further. So if you don't say anything back, it's like it stops right there. Today, don't let your identity be established and formed by what you do. It's not about doing. It's about being. And from a position of being, we're able to go and do in the kingdom. It's never the other way around. We don't do in order to be. No, we be in order to do. Don't let the opinions of others define you. Allow the truth of God's word to be declared over your life. I want to finish upon a passage in Genesis 2 verse 7. It says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. In today's currency, $160.05. And God takes it and he fashions man. And it says, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and man became a living being. The value of your physical body, $160.05. The musicians wanted to come up. But when God breathes onto that $160.05, you move from a position of not being valuable to being very, very, very valuable. In the kingdom of God, just one change takes place. The breath of God. The identity of who he is becomes actually who you and I are. Our value changes immediately. Today you are so much more valuable than $160.05. Because God's breath is inside of your very lives. Today, would you allow him to breathe again into your life? Maybe you found yourself in a position where you need to hit the reset button and allow God to breathe in you once more. You see, I've found that the value of something is determined by two things. There are two variables. The value of something is determined by who owns it. And the second thing is what someone is willing to pay for it. That determines the value. You see, I can have a pair of football boots. And it's just the value of the football boots. Or I can have a pair of Jonathan Thurston football boots. And the value will increase drastically. It comes down to who actually owns it. And today, you and I, we belong to God. And we belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You belong to him, and therefore that makes you incredibly valuable. And no matter how you see yourself or others see yourself, you belong to God, the Most High. He is mighty, he is holy, and he says you belong to him. And the second thing that determines the value of something is the price someone is willing to pay. As I look at the life of Jesus, he was willing to lay down his whole life because of the worth he saw in you. You and I are so valuable, and Jesus shows the most extravagant love by laying down his life and purchasing us with the highest price, his own life. This evening, that makes you and I so, so valuable. One last story. I know I'm going over time. I do apologize. One last story. I remember many, many years ago, I was sitting out the front. It's probably 15 years ago. I was sitting out in the front, and Mum and Dad's, they used to own a blue van. And who knows, when you got your P plates and you're driving a dodgy old blue van, you're really cool. Well, I remember sitting out the front. And at this time in my life, Mum and Dad, they'd just got a divorce. And I remember sitting out the front. And I remember questioning God. I remember it so clearly. How could you do this, God? How could you allow this to happen? It's like I was having this dialogue with God. And I remember on that day so clearly, I remember saying in my heart, from this day forward, my value is not determined by what happens in my life, because I can't determine that. I can't change that. But my value is determined by what you've done for me. And when I need to hit the reset button, there's this thing called the cross. And I go and look at the cross. And in that moment I can say, hey, I am valuable. Hey, I'm loved. Hey, wake up to yourself. You're so valuable. The price that he paid. The price that he paid. You might be here tonight saying, hey, show me my value. Touch me again, God. Because I don't want to know what other people say that I am. I want to know who you say that I am. He's the great I am. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And when he speaks, things change. And tonight, what he did in my heart 15 years ago, he can do the same to you. If you just say, hey, speak to me. Speak to me. I love that I serve a living God. I love that he's so real. That song, closer than my next breath. He's closer than my next breath. How cool's that? How cool is that? Have it, we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are the King of Kings. We thank you that you are the Lord of Lords. And when you speak and you look at us with your eyes of love, you change us. An identity shift changes. We see ourselves not as who we are. We see ourselves as who you say we are. And who you say we are is so much more. In a numerical sense, $160.05. But when you breathe on that $160.05, we're so much more. We're so valuable. Holy Spirit, minister to hearts. You're welcome here. Shower us with your love. Speak truth into our hearts of who you say we are. And Father, we thank you for the cross. The greatest example, extravagant love. Extravagant love. While I was a sinner, you said, hey, I love you. I'm willing to lay down my life. We praise you. We honor you. Whisper on our heart this evening the truth of who you say we are. In Jesus' precious name, amen.